good to see you all. It's been way too long since you all have been here. So please tell Brother Mark we miss seeing him. We'll see him again at some point soon. Let's take our hymn books and turn to 383. 383. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one.
The seller decided to
sell it to one of their friends. And so now they're back to square one. So keep praying. I didn't ask him again, but as far as I know, what's supposed to happen is they're supposed to drive up for the weekend. And so he and his wife are supposed to both be here. So we'll keep praying and see what the Lord does with all of that. But as of right now, we don't have any further needs. All right. That's all the announcements I have at the moment that I can think of. On the list back there, you'll see me as updated as we possibly can get where our speaking schedule is. Pastor is supposed to be here this weekend and also a week from today. And then we don't have a speaker yet, as far as I know, for January 31st. So we'll see what the Lord does. Pastor will be with us that weekend. So we'll see what the Lord does there. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We just started learning the memory verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Brief review. Remember, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes are right next to each other in the scripture, but Proverbs was written when Solomon was a younger man, and he was still living for the Lord at the time. When you get to Ecclesiastes, he's gotten toward the latter stages of his life. He's married many foreign women and had a lot of concubines, and they've turned his heart away from the Lord. And so in Ecclesiastes, we find what happens when you turn your back on the Lord and try to live just according to your flesh and to yourself. And Solomon figures out that it's not worth doing that. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Let's say it together. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. I think a lot of us have heard that last phrase in that verse and probably just didn't know where it was. Okay. We'll take prayer requests in just a moment. Let's turn to 399. 399. He took my sins away. Take some prayer requests now for if you might have any. Yes?
I have a couple. Pastor Reddy called today, and he is still not feeling well. He's the sore throat got better, but he's been having fevers and headaches. They did another COVID test, and it came back negative also. So they're not sure what's going on, but he asked us to pray for him. And also, I got an email from Gloria Conklin. Bill Buskirk called Dave, and Cherie is in Muhlenberg Hospital. She does have COVID, and she's not doing well. She's really having trouble with the breathing.
Chavee, right?
Yes, there is.
A-V-E-E. Yes. She does have COVID, and as part of that, she's really having a hard time breathing. Yes, Kathy.
My brother-in-law had surgery at the beginning of this month, and there were complications at the incision site, so he had surgery again yesterday. His name is Dave. He's not safe. Just pray that that situation and for the surgery that it healed correctly this time. And also, a week from today, I am having surgery on my one eye cataract surgery. I probably won't be here in the evening, so pray that that goes okay.
You and my mom can talk if you like.
We
my
have.
My mom had both of them. Direct them during this time. And then she wanted us to pray. Some of this she mentioned before. Her landlord, James Bamboo, B-A-M-B-U, pray for his salvation. Pray for Tiana. She came here a few times, and she is saved, but needs guidance from the Lord. And then her resident, Gloria, needs to be saved, and she's reading the material that Cheryl's given her. Go ahead.
Can you just please keep telling and prayer?
Yes.
And then now she's on the list and everything.
Right.
And this is just a full time.
She's really having a hard time right now.
Yeah, she is.
And not sure how soon she's going to have to go back to the hospital. For Kelly.
Oh, okay.
And she's supposed to go back to the hospital on Saturday. And hopefully she'll have a better bounce back this time. It appears that this last time she was there, it really didn't do much. So, and that's not good. Yes?
I prayed for Chris George, who's in the hospital in Philadelphia. He doesn't his cancer is coming back and he's not there. And
George is down in the hospital in Philadelphia. The cancer is coming back. He's not saved. His mother, Patty Jo, is not saved. And who's Nazi?
Nazi.
M-A-Z-Z-Y. And then she's related to Chris George?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we need to pray for all three of those for salvation, and particularly Chris George with the cancer. It was very scary here not that long ago. They thought he wasn't going to make it, and he may still not. So we need to pray for that whole situation, and God would intervene there. Yes, Erica.
I talked to Kathy Hoover earlier this week. Her and Mike are going to be going out to their church in Oregon on Sunday. So if we could just keep them in our prayers for his new ministry there and for traveling over the road.
Okay. So apparently they're both doing better from the COVID they had.
Yeah, she said Mike's doing a lot better. They're actually... a couple days, I think Tuesday, they were on their way to Maryland to get the rest of their stuff.
Okay.
They're now in Bedford with their son, Kyle, visiting. They'll head to Michigan tomorrow, and then she said they're heading to Oregon on Sunday after church.
Okay.
So.
All right. So just like we are here, that church out in Oregon is in the middle of a big transition. So.
Yeah.
We understand what they're going through.
Yeah.
We're doing the same thing.
She said they're really excited on both ends, so it's
yeah.
just a blessing that they God made a path for them.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Are they just pastor our pastor?
Yes.
Are they mainly just looking for a home?
Yes.
Okay. Is there like if that for some reason doesn't fall through, are they looking for housing, like maybe apartments or something, or is it they just really want to be able to get the home?
I'm not sure what details they are. I know initially when they first came, I was helping them trying to find still a home but something to rent.
Uh-huh.
but nothing seemed to fit what they were looking for.
Okay.
And as far as the apartment thing goes, I'm not sure if the basic problem that's going on all over the country, but certainly here, it's a seller's market. And what that means is there are limited homes for sale or for rent. And so when that happens, the sellers can put what seems to us unreasonable demands. So
that's what's going on.
Yes.
Okay.
And so obviously the Lord knows all about all this stuff.
Okay.
And so
I'll just ask it.
We need to know, we just need to continue praying and see what the Lord will do with all of that.
But he's holding up okay, though.
Yes.
Okay.
He was in the text. He was trying to encourage me, not the other way around. But that's our pastor. That's who he is.
Yeah. I worry, but I know God is good.
Yes, Kathy.
Just prayer for tonight for a Jeff and a Jeremy, two plumbers that I had to have to the house today. So there's a $200 Bible tract going out the door again. Pray they read them. Pray they make some decisions.
Jeff
and who?
Jeremy.
Okay. I thought I heard that word. Okay. Yes. Jim.
Yes. Pray for Donna's one son. He lives in Florida, and about a year and a half ago, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And she received a phone call on Saturday from him. Stating that he went to the doctors and there's a little growth in it. He moved to Florida for his job. Now he worked for the police force. Now he worked down here a year. Now he's available to get his benefits from the police force. So he's going to collect his benefits and they're moving back up to they were living in New Jersey before, so that's where they're going to be moved to. So just pray for him about his cancer and salvation-wise. He has a knowledge, but I don't think there is anything there. So just pray for him for salvation and his cancer.
What's his name again?
David.
David's okay.
Brother.
Weeks in a row. All right. I'd like you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. All right. Now, I've preached on this story before, I think, here. And so this time I thought I wanted to speak on some things out of this again. And so I thought I'd read all three texts. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But we'll read the Matthew one first, then we'll go to Mark, then we'll go to Luke, and then we'll get going here. Now, since I usually go about a half an hour and we're doing three texts, so it should be about an hour and a half then, so that if you figure that out. But, all right, well, Matthew 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now that's the Matthew passage. Now we go to the Mark passage, and this is the text that I usually use when I preach on this. But it says, And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. That's a bad thing for a ship, to be full. We'll talk about that a little later. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And then one more. Over in Luke, and that's Luke chapter 8 and verses 22 through 25. It says, Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship and with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. All right, I love water. I love lakes. I like the ocean. I just enjoy being around water. But not that I'm a great swimmer, because I'm not. I can barely make it. And I had trouble getting my intermediate card back in high school when we used to do those kind of things. But I like water. But anyway, there's four fishermen in this group, Peter and Andrew, James and John. So, I mean, when he said, we're going to take a boat and go over to the other side, I'm sure they figured, well, hey, that's something we've done hundreds of times. We know the Sea of Galilee. We're if anything comes up, you know, we'll be there to help. You know, we're fishermen. We're ready for this sort of thing. And so when Jesus said they were going across the sea, they thought, well, that's great. That's great. And they knew the climate of that area. This Sea of Galilee was known for storms. I mean, they happen regularly. And I think maybe I mentioned one of the other times I was here that I grew up just to the east of Lake Ontario, up in New York State. And you know how the weather always goes west to east. Not always, but most of the time goes west to east. And there were many times when we'd be out playing baseball or something in the summer, and the wind would pick up, and we'd see the wind starting to come. We'd say, well, boy, it's going to rain. And sure enough, it would pick water up off Lake Ontario, and we'd get dumped on for about maybe half an hour or less, and then it would pass by, the sun would come back out, and we'd be back out playing again. And that's just the way it was. But it was that way on the Sea of Galilee. Storms came up quickly, and sometimes you didn't have much time to prepare for these storms. And this was a really bad storm. And even the experts, Peter, James, and John and Andrew, they were scared. And I'm sure they're looking around and say, where's Jesus? And here he was back on a pillow. I wonder if he brought the pillow because he knew he wanted to take a rest while they went across. It's hard to say. But I want to look at several things here this evening. First of all, the reason of the storm. Why do you think Jesus picked that time to go across there when I'm sure he knew there was going to be a storm? He knew that ahead of time. And, you know, some people I've heard say, I think he allowed the storm so he could find out what kind of faith his disciples had. But I don't agree with that, because he already knew that. He knows everything. He doesn't have to send a storm to find out what's in their hearts and what's in their minds. He already knows that. Now, maybe he did it to reveal to them what was in their hearts. I can see it that way, possibly. But a lot of times we wonder why God allows a storm, why God allows COVID to come. Why does he do that? Why does he allow election result that wasn't the election result to be deemed as the election result, so the person that won didn't win, and the person that didn't win is now the president? Why does he allow that? Why does he do that? I don't know, but God knows, and he is accomplishing his purposes. But so the first thing I'd like to say here is that it's very possible that this storm, we're talking about the reason of the storm now, that it was inspired by Satan. And I believe that very well could be true. God allows things that he doesn't cause. So that happens many times. I don't think we have to try to figure out those kind of things, but I think it's just a matter of fact. And so I believe the storm was inspired by Satan, but I also believe that it was instructive for the saints. It was instructive for these saints, because he was going to put them through something that was going to be for their benefit in the long run. And God sends storms or allows storms to see in our lives, to prove to us what we really are, what we're trusting in, how strong our faith is. And, we know that God knows everything, but did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? You probably heard that statement before, but that's the truth. I mean, he knows everything ahead of time. And that's interesting. But when the storm was over, Jesus revealed something to these disciples that maybe they didn't know before, and now they did know. Now let's move on here. They had seen him perform miracles. They had been with Jesus for a while now. They had seen maybe the wedding at Cana, I think, was ahead of this, and the feeding of the 5,000 was ahead of it, but they never saw him calm the storm. They never saw him deal with nature like that before. This was the first time for that. And now they see that, boy, Jesus' power extends even to the wind and the waves. And I'm sure that was an eye-opener for the disciples who were traveling with him. So some of the reason, but how about the response to the storm? The disciples were afraid. He says unto them, "Why are ye so fearful?" And they cried out, "Master, we perish." They thought they were going down. And do you ever get scared? Have you ever been afraid in your lifetime? This is a really bad storm, and Jesus is sleeping. And, when he went to sleep, nobody said anything. Nobody, because the sun was out, and it was probably nice and calm. And they said, "Oh, Jesus wants to take a nap. That's okay. That's no problem." But when the storm came up, all right, hey, where's Jesus? Now they're getting excited. And, "Jesus, how can you sleep? We need your help here." And, they're fishermen. They knew what they were doing. They'd done this before many times. They needed to realize that they needed Jesus. That's what they needed to realize, and he showed them that very quickly. So I often wonder if he took the nap on purpose. I wonder, You know, I think God has a sense of humor. You can see that in the Bible in several places. But I'm just wondering, I'm just picturing Jesus walking to the back of the boat and say, well, I think I'll go take my nap now. And then the storm will come up. And then they're going to have to come and wake me up. Maybe that's, I don't know that he did that, but he might have done that. but anyway, when I was in college, I one of my jobs was night watchman. And if you know anything about night watchmen, they work at night. And when you don't get your sleep at night, but you're doing your rounds at night, and then you have to go and sit in the classroom, and it's one of those, maybe it's a cold day, and that's when, this was an old building, they would turn the heat up, and it would get real hot in there. And I'd be, some of my rounds that I had to make were outside, and you know, when you come in out of the cold into the warm, and you start to listen to some dry college professor, and you'd get tired. And you know, I would fall asleep. And I can remember several times I went to the back of the room and stood up. I figured if I'm standing, I'm less liable to fall asleep. I only did that a couple times. But anyway, the point I'm making is here is that it's not good to fall asleep sometimes. And I'm sure the disciples thought, what a time for Jesus to be sleeping. What a time. And, you know, you've probably seen people sleep in church. I could start telling stories about people sleeping in church. My dad was a preacher for 50-some years, and I can remember a number of things, but that would take too long. So let's get back to the story here. It says in here that the boat was full of water. Now, if you've ever been out in boats, I mean, I never owned a boat, but I've gone fishing a little bit, and some boats are rowboat size, some are a little bit bigger, and then I've actually been out on the ocean in some that are 40 and 50 feet long. And one thing you always notice on the floor, there's always water. And a rowboat, it's usually only a couple inches, maybe an inch or two, and usually there's a scooper there, and you reach down and you scoop that out because you don't want it to keep building up. You know, that's not a good thing. And then if you've got one of these bigger boats, sometimes there's like a sump pump in the back, and as the water gets up to a certain point, the motor will come on, it'll shoot the water out. And so, you know, but when you get in a boat and it says it's full of water, that's not a good thing. If it's full of water, it's gonna go down. It's gonna sink. And so no boat is designed for that. Now their ship was now full, covered with the waves, the passage says. Well, why didn't it sink? If it's full of water and covered with waves, well, it didn't sink because Jesus was there. He's not gonna let it sink because he already told them we're going over to the other side. So that's already been determined. If they would have just listened to him and believed God himself in the person of Jesus talking to them, he already said, we're going over to the other side. So that's why it didn't sink. But, you know, if I was one of these, I've said this before, one of these singing evangelists, I'd break into Master, the Tempest is Raging. You ever hear that hymn? That's a powerful hymn. He's okay. They're okay because Jesus is in the boat with them. And he could just say, you know, look, listen, I've got this under control. He said, you're okay. You'll be all right. But then finally, we'll see the rebuke of the storm, why they were going to be all right. The rebuke of the storm. Now, first of all, there was a calming rebuke. It says there that he said, peace be still. And as quickly as the storm started, it stopped. And I've heard preachers, and again, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I've heard preachers saying that peace be still was just kind of like a shh. That's what he did. Shh. Peace be still. Just a calming rebuke to the storm. He didn't yell at it and scream at it. He didn't need to do that. He just said, stop. Stop. And the storm stopped. And the crisis didn't last. And most crises don't last forever. You know, we're going through this COVID right now. And how many in here have had COVID? Raise your hand. One, two, three. And Mrs. Didn't Mrs. Freeman have it too? There's four. Four of us, you know. And, you know, it wasn't a pleasant experience. It really wasn't. But it didn't last forever. And the epidemic, or I guess they call it a pandemic now because it's supposed to be worldwide, it's not going to last forever. It'll pass. And, you know, the term of Biden-Harris won't last forever. I mean, we got through 8 years of Obama. I've lived through 8 years of Obama. I've lived through 8 years of Clinton. I lived through 4 years of Carter. I mean, and we made it. We made it. You know, each one of them got worse. I thought Carter was the worst president that there ever could be. And then Clinton came along, and he outdid him. And then Obama came along and outdid him. And I think now we might have something that's going to outdo them all. But anyway, we will survive through it. God will either prevent you from a storm, or he'll take you through the storm. One or the other. He'll do that. And so all the trials of life that you and I face can be ended as quickly as they started by God. When he says it's over, we're gonna move on, it'll be over. And now, you know, this election was a crazy thing, and I still don't believe that. I believe it was stolen. You know, they say stop the steal. Have you seen those posters? I believe it was stolen. But the thing is, you know, I heard a lot of conspiracy theories in the last month or so that it was going to be overturned even up to this morning. It was going to be overturned. Didn't happen. It didn't happen. That is one possibility. I've also heard people say, you know, this is the end. This is going to be the end of the United States. The United States doesn't show up in Bible prophecy. This is the beginning of the end. It's going to usher in the Antichrist ruler and the revealing of the beast and all that. Now, I don't know if that's true, and neither does anybody else, by the way, because God says we won't know it till it happens. So anybody that tells you this is what's going to happen and this is how it's going to happen and this is when it's going to happen, they don't know. They don't know when. Now there are indicators that we can say, well, this may be coming to this point. But see, I heard messages like that before I was 10 years old back in the 50s. That said that, you know, in the next 10 years, Christ is coming back. And then we had a book out one time, 88 Reasons That Jesus Is Coming in 1988. Anybody have that book? I have a copy of that book at home. A guy named Huizenant wrote that book. And, 88 came, 98 came, 08 came, 18 came, and now we're in 21 and Jesus has not come back yet. Now, does that mean that there's any less likely that he's coming back? No, he's coming back. He's coming back. He said he was. And every prophecy that he made in the Old Testament to the New Testament was fulfilled. So everyone that he still hasn't been fulfilled will be fulfilled. We know that. He is coming back. So anyway, it was a calming rebuke here, though. Very calming. But it was also a convicting rebuke. And it was convicting about two things. Number one, about their fear. About the fear of these disciples. Why are you so afraid? That's a good question for Jesus to ask them. What frightens you? Old age? Does old age frighten you? You know, I could never think about being 70. And now I'm 71. And, you know, I'm hoping to keep living because, you know, if you don't like old age, that means you want to die. So there's only two alternatives. You either keep living and get old, or you die. And so I choose to keep living. I enjoy living. I enjoy life. And get old or die now. Those are your two choices. So we shouldn't be afraid of old age. We shouldn't be. And but how about the running out of money? There have been times in my life when I was afraid I'd run out of money. And there were times when we did run out of money. And God provided in miraculous ways. But getting COVID, does that scare you? Shouldn't, because there's been lots worse things than that come down the pike, and God always delivers. Running out of your health, scare some people, running out of Social Security. Now we've got a new administration coming in, and the way they're talking about, they're going to have to really raise taxes to do the things that they're talking about doing. So there's lots of things that can scare us. But the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So think about what frightens you. Sometimes you go to the doctor and you've had some symptoms and you're afraid it's this or you're afraid it's that. And he does some tests and so forth, and you're waiting for those 3 or 4 days or a week for those tests to come back. Does that frighten you? Some people it does. This is what Jesus is putting his finger on. He says, why were you afraid? What are you so afraid? Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That nothing should scare us. If we die, we get to go to heaven. We get to go to heaven, and once we get there, we'd never want to come back. That's always a comforting thing when I lose a relative like my dad or my mom, and I think, boy, I'm going to miss them. But they never want to come back to hear. They'd never want to come back to see their son. They wouldn't want to come back to see their son. They're in heaven. They're with Jesus. And so none of us are going to get out of this life alive unless one thing, unless Jesus returns. Jesus comes back for us, we'll all get out of here, we won't have to die. But other than that, we're all going to die. And so that's why we want to be sure we're walking with the Lord and ready to cross over. So it was about their fear, but he also he convicted them about their faith. The one passage, we read three passages. The one passage, he said, why is it that you have no faith? I mean, he's really hard on them. And now you have no faith. Where is your faith? How do we approach that? When we came in here this evening, how about these chairs? And by the way, they're comfortable. We have these same type in our auditorium. And I think yours are actually more comfortable than ours. And we just bought ours. Ours are brand new, about a year old, a little over a year old. These are more comfortable. But when you came in here, did you get down and look and say, I wonder what these chairs are rated for. I wonder if they're going to hold me. No, you just plop yourself right down. You didn't even think about it. You didn't check. I had a fellow one time, we were in one of our other buildings, and he used to bring his own chair. And it was one of these, they're kind of look like plastic chairs that you put out on the deck so that the rain can hit them and it doesn't wear them out. And I often thought, I said, boy, that thing doesn't look like it's going to hold him. And sure enough, one Sunday night, pastor was in the middle of his message, and all of a sudden, the thing fell apart, and he was right on the floor. And boy, everybody just roared, And he was the kind of guy that, it didn't bother him too much. But nowadays, that might end up on Facebook or something, that somebody would take a video of him sitting there and put it up. But anyway, we take that the chair is going to hold us by faith, and we just sit down in it. We trust the chair. How about when you're driving your car? You come up to a red light and you stop. Light turns green. Do you cautiously look this way and that way to see if anybody's going to be obeying them, or do you just go? What if it's some teenager drunk or high on cocaine or something and he doesn't see that light coming his way, and as you take off, he plows right into you? Well, I don't ever look, hardly. I just go. When the light turns green, I go. I don't look both ways. We have more faith in the chair or the red light than we do in the Lord sometimes. We worry about things that we shouldn't be worrying about. He's got us under control. We don't need to worry about these kind of things. So let's exercise at least enough faith to trust him when a trial comes. We trusted in God for our salvation. How about trusting him for our daily living, our daily lives? Don't you think he cares about us? You know that hymn, "Does Jesus Care?" You know, yes, he cares. Of course he cares. And so he cares about our future. He cares about this virus. He cares about this 4 years that we're going to have to endure now. And he's going to have to give us grace and strength. And what I've always prayed for is that God will keep our country free for the preaching of the gospel till he comes back. And that's what we need to pray. We need to pray that. So we need to pray about our finances, about our future. We need to just trust those things to God. Leave it with him then. Pray about it and then forget about it. So there's going to be storms ahead. This isn't the last one. They're going to keep coming. It may get worse before it gets better. In fact, as of today, I would say it will get worse before it gets better. Amen. Pretty sure of it. It's going to happen. And I believe Jesus slept just long enough so that the disciples were at the end of their rope. They knew, man, we got to wake him up now. This is really getting bad. And that then he woke up. Then he woke up and said, "I'll take over. I'll help him now." And well, I'm going to just quote a couple of verses here, and then we'll draw a conclusion. John 16:33, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but ye shall be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Job 5:7, "Yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward." Just a sure thing. 1 Peter 4:12, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Don't think, man, this is strange. I'm going through a trial. No, it's not. It's natural. It's normal. And as Christians, it's even more so. It's even more normal. But, you know, some trials we can say are caused by Satan. The devil can certainly cause problems in our lives. Some problems are self-imposed by our stupid decisions. And I've made a few in my lifetime. But one thing we can say, Satan can't sink your ship. He can't do that. If Jesus is in your ship, you can survive the storms that would take anybody else down. If Jesus is in your ship. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for these true stories of Jesus' life on earth that he put in here to encourage us and to embolden us to live for Christ, put our faith and trust in him, and not let Satan get the advantage. And we pray now as we face an uncertain 4 years that you'd give us strength to carry on, strength to be the salt and the light that you've put us here to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.